Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Hello, everybody, and happy WrestleMania weekend. Rob here. I am not with Jeff this week at the same time. Jeff will be here in a moment, or maybe he was first. I have no idea. But I was not able to connect on the time with him this week, so I am going to give you my, not just WrestleMania predictions, but theories and insights into Darby Allin's AEW title reign. Yeah, that's right. Look forward to it. A lot of talk about Darby Allin winning the AEW world title and AEW trying to capitalize, get some positive momentum as seemingly WWE is upsetting some fans going into WrestleMania. There's still going to be a lot of people in the building. There's still going to be a lot of people watching WrestleMania. WrestleMania is the big deal this weekend. But AEW trying to get some momentum going into this weekend and get people talking about some AEW side. So Darby Allin is the new AEW world champion. I had a buddy text me this weekend, and this is a friend that started because we were pro wrestling buddies. We were going to ROH shows in the early 2000s, meeting in college. We would go to IWA Mid-South shows and so forth. So this was like 25 years ago, almost 23 years ago or so, 23 years ago, wrestling buddy who has since kind of gone out of it, kind of like I did about 10 years ago, I would say, kind of gone out of the wrestling world, texts me like, hey, I want to watch WrestleMania. How do I do it? It's on ESPN, right? Like, I can get that with my Disney bundle. How many of you out there have had this where you've had to let someone know, or maybe you're the one, I don't know, because it's complicated even for, like, I'm a YouTube TV subscriber. I still can't get ESPN Unlimited. I have to buy ESPN Unlimited. I'm probably going to go the Netflix VPN route, most likely. But also maybe I'll just, I used to have to pay what, $50 for WrestleMania. So what's $30 to watch two nights of WrestleMania? We'll see. But probably the Netflix and VPN route. Check out Fightful.com for some VPN deals through Nord. And you too can watch WrestleMania on Netflix. But anyway, I digress. So he's asking me, can I watch WrestleMania with my Disney bundle? Like, is that all I need? I have ESPN Plus. It's in the bundle. Is that all I need? And I'm explaining, no, it's on the ESPN Unlimited. It's kind of the only thing on ESPN Unlimited right now outside of like one free baseball game. If you have Unlimited and don't have MLB TV, it's not a lot on ESPN Unlimited right now, but you do have to have ESPN Unlimited. So no, you can't just get it. And then I'm asking him, what's your cable provider? Maybe he doesn't know that you can get it through certain cable providers. And then he tells me it and they don't have it. It's like Frontier, which makes it even more complicated because Frontier was just bought by Verizon and Verizon has the deal with ESPN Unlimited, but Frontier doesn't necessarily right now. So a lot of confusion there. At the end of the day, he's like, screw this. I might just watch baseball. I'm like, all right. Yeah. Plenty of baseball on this weekend. And watch AEW Collision, most likely. Watch some type of AEW program. Watch SmackDown, watch Raw. You get the gist of it, right? So that's the one thing. How are you watching it? Do you have a plan? If you don't have ESPN Unlimited yet, are you going to get it? figure that out, because you don't want to be there at, you know, 5:30 on Saturday or Sunday trying to figure out, oh, shoot, how am I going to watch WrestleMania? So that's some of the different things going out there, which is still some confusion. And the ESPN's had a WWE since September now. So you would think that if you really wanted to watch certain events, but this is like the first big one. You could say WrestlePalooza was a big one all you want, ESPN, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Royal Rumble, yeah, that's a big deal, but it's happening at 2 p.m. on a Saturday. It's Saudi Arabia. It's not the Royal Rumbles a lot of us remember. But WrestleMania happened primetime Saturday and Sunday. This is the first big one. It's the big one already, but this is the first real test for ESPN Unlimited and WWE. And you've seen it. I mean, WWE has been all over SportsCenter and ESPN programming this week. They showed the Royal Rumble a few weeks ago, a primetime condensed version of it on free TV advertising WrestleMania. I mean, ESPN is behind it. They are trying to figure out, hey, how do we get people to finally try our ESPN Unlimited service? So that's what's going on this weekend. We're going to talk about WrestleMania. I'm going to go through my matches. We'll see where Jeff and I differ. We'll see where we're aligned. Maybe some of the same thoughts will pop up. We'll see what happens. Of course, this weekend, Friday, you are going to start with SmackDown, which has two matches. One that I thought would be surely on WrestleMania, and it doesn't make the cut. And then the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. You're going to have Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. WWE touted this by saying previous winners have been Big Bronson Reed, main event Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes. Look at the star-studded winners. Yeah, you've also had Madcap Moss. You've also had Mojo Rawley. And don't forget Baron Corbin won this one. Now, Baron Corbin, you could say, was on the level of a Carmelo Hayes, if not bigger, on the level of a Big Bronson Reed, if not bigger, at the time that he won this. But yes, he was indeed a winner. A couple years runner-up, Bronson Reed beat Ivar. Remember that? Yeah, the two big guys in there at the end. Super cool kind of feat there. But last year, you had Carmelo Hayes win. This week on SmackDown, they haven't named all the participants as of recording, but you're going to have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal going into WrestleMania 42, and then the MFTs going up against the Wyatt Six on SmackDown. I thought that match was going to be for sure on WrestleMania because WWE doesn't find it as important. I'm not going to go too in depth on those matches because they are SmackDown TV matches. They are to whet your appetite for WrestleMania. Night one, you're going to see the first hour happening on ESPN2. Okay, you're going to have ESPN2 showing the first hour of WrestleMania, and they're going to kick off. I'm a little bit surprised that they are kicking off with this six-man tag team match. A little bit surprised. Now, I know Logan Paul is kind of a mainstream star. I Show Speed, mainstream star. I get why they're doing it. I'm just a little bit surprised. I would have thought maybe you had a Seth Rollins and Gunther on there. Now, I can also, some of you might be out there laughing, like, why wouldn't they put Logan Paul on this? Why wouldn't they put the Usos? Why wouldn't they put I Show Speed? LA Knight's kind of a big name. This absolutely makes sense. I'm a little bit surprised Seth Rollins and Gunther isn't going to be on there, if only for the fact that Seth Rollins it's his return match, effectively, to WWE. And he has been around for a while. He's definitely a name that people know. But you're going to have The Vision with I Show Speed going up against the Usos and LA Knight. I want to get my odds. The odds for this show. Right now, The Vision and I Show Speed that's a little surprising. They are not favorites to win this. They are the underdogs. The Usos and LA Knight are the favorites to win this one. Back in the day when Vince McMahon was heading WWE, you would have had The Vision and I Show Speed absolutely go for the victory here, so they can get as much media as possible on I Show Speed's appearance. But nowadays, you don't really have to win the match to get that mainstream pub. You just kind of have to be on the show, be on the card. So this one's going to be an interesting one. I'm actually going to go Vision and I Show Speed. I do think they are going to win it. Although I do see the, what some may say, the Usos, LA Knight. You want the show to start off hot. You want the show to start off on a positive. You know what? I'm talking myself into it. I'm going to go with LA Knight and the Usos actually winning this match. I'm going to turn the tables on this one and say, yes, the Usos and LA Knight are going to win this match, if only for the fact that, yeah, you're on ESPN2. It's the first match of WrestleMania that anyone's going to see. you want to have a little bit positive momentum, maybe say, hey, you know what? Yeah, they gave my favorites, the Usos and LA Knight, a win here. Maybe I will actually watch this show. Maybe I should sign up for ESPN Unlimited and get this show right now. You're going to have Jacob Fatu versus Drew McIntyre. This is a rivalry match. This is a feud match that kind of is somewhat recent, although it has that is backing. But really, this was the pivot, right? This was the Cody Rhodes pivot. Cody Rhodes getting the championship, Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre now having a one-on-one match. Jacob Fatu is the big-time favorite in this one, and I would have to say that's probably the way you should go. Jacob Fatu, especially if Randy Orton is going to end up winning the world title. We'll get to that in a second. Jacob Fatu makes like a logical next possible challenger for Randy Orton, something new to get you through the summer there before you have some type of big return match at SummerSlam, whether that's Cody, whether that's Drew, whether that's off the wall right now, who knows? But yeah, I would see Jacob Fatu winning that one too. And I think the first hour on ESPN2 is going to be hot. These are two, I mean, the six-man tag team match, you're going to have the spectacle with Ice Show Speed. Logan Paul, Austin Theory, pretty good in the ring there. Logan Paul, I mean, relatively speaking, pretty good in the ring for how new he is. And then you get the crowd. I mean, the first 10 minutes of the show are going to be entrances, and it's going to be the Usos going through the crowd and doing their hyped entrance with the WrestleMania attendance. I don't know how through the crowd they want to go. Because as of right now, you may not have people in those upper sections there. So you're going to have to be careful with where they're walking through and how that looks on television there. Stephanie Vaquer, Liv Morgan, the angle on Monday, Liv Morgan looked like she was possessed. And that's exactly what I want to see out of her going up against Stephanie Vaquer. It's like, she wants her world title back. It's been gone from her long enough. There's been turmoil in the Judgment Day. Dirty Dom has no championship. Well, yeah, he has lost his Intercontinental Championship. They're struggling, you know, they're a struggle bus right now. And, what are you going to do with Stephanie Vaquer and Liv Morgan? Now, right now, Liv Morgan is the betting favorite. And when I say betting favorite, these are odds provided by my bookie. You can find them on Fightful.com. But these are the betting odds right now. Liv Morgan, a slight favorite against Stephanie Vaquer. Very interesting, because this is kind of like, it's not the first challenger to Vaquer, but it's the first one that you could possibly see beating Stephanie Vaquer. And Liv Morgan just has all that hype to it. Now, does she lose this and then we complete whatever chaos, crazy, like just going nuts Liv Morgan we're going to see over the next few months? Are we going to see Raquel play a part in this and possibly cost Liv Morgan the title and they go at it while Stephanie Vaquer moves on to something else? I would say that Liv Morgan being a slight, I don't know if I said this, Liv Morgan is the slight favorite, right now. I like the angles maybe better if Liv Morgan were to possibly lose. I think Liv Morgan's done so well in the last 4 years that she doesn't necessarily have to win this. But it does play a part in the Royal Rumble booking, right? Liv Morgan won the Royal Rumble. This gets you the title match. Is a Royal Rumble win effectively a world championship win, kind of like Money in the Bank? Liv Morgan is a slight favorite here, but I would actually expect something to happen between Liv and Raquel. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that Stephanie Vaquer retains the championship. And I don't think this is the last we've seen of them. And we might have some type of return match between these two happening at the Fort Wayne Saturday night's main event, which is just a month away. So that's very soon that they would have to have some of these return matches from WrestleMania. So I'm going to go with Stephanie Vaquer to win this one. AJ Lee, Becky Lynch for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. I don't see AJ Lee sticking around as a full timer. You know, pick your spots, come and go here, maybe come back for SummerSlam. Whether she's done with Becky or not, I don't know. Just for the behind the scene aspect of the fact that AJ Lee may not be a full timer, I'm going to go with Becky Lynch to win. But for the on screen portion, I would expect Becky Lynch to come in here and get a victory over AJ Lee. AJ Lee got one win. Becky Lynch may not have necessarily taken that all seriously, and she's coming in hopefully somewhat focused. So there's your on-screen and your off-screen reason, but I can see this going either way. A lot of these are actually coin flips. Like the one one of the good things about this WrestleMania is the fact that there are a lot of matches on the show that could go either way, up until the world title match. You know, we're going to get to Cody Rhodes. We're going to get to Randy Orton. You know, what happens with Roman Reigns and CM Punk? You know, there's been reports of CM Punk possibly taking some time off. He's kind of been the workhorse, if you will. Workhorse being different nowadays in WWE, because it's not meaning that you're Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy and you're going on to TV every week and wrestling matches. You're not doing that, but you're on TV every week. You know, there's so many guys that aren't on TV every week these days. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes is not wrestling every week, but he is on TV. Brock Lesnar not there. There's some guys on there that aren't here all the time. So now being a workhorse just means you're on TV. So are they going to give some CM Punk time off? We'll get to that here in just a second. But I am going to go ahead and go with Becky Lynch winning the Intercontinental Championship back. Maybe there's some shenanigans. There's going to be shenanigans on this show, but I'm not going to sit here and try to predict where the shenanigans take place, whether there's returns, whether there's NXT call-ups. Is Blake Monroe going to find her way into one of the storylines in the women's side from WrestleMania? Is she going to be a part of Becky Lynch? Possibly a part of Liv Morgan? Not saying any of that would make sense. I'm just saying, are there going to be some NXT call-ups a little early, not waiting for Raw and SmackDown, but happening here on WrestleMania? The Women's Championship 4-Way, the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship, Nia Jax and Lash Legend versus Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss versus Bayley and Lyra versus the Bella Twins. This is the return to action as a tag team for the Bella Twins on the big stage of WrestleMania. Right now, Bayley and Lyra are actually the small favorites to win this match. They've done a really good job playing back and forth ever since the Bayley going crazy storyline has kind of been dropped a little bit. You know, they're a tag team. Bayley's getting in the face of all these different people that she's had a past with. Lyra's there starting to have a past with some of these folks. I do not see Nia Jax and Lash Legend retaining their championships. And if I'm eliminating teams, I'm eliminating the Irresistible Forces. And I'm also eliminating Alexa and Charlotte, just because we had that for most of last year as the tag team champions. And then, okay, does it come down to Bayley and Lyra? Does it come down to the Bella Twins? The Bella Twins getting the win there is kind of a cool cap to their return. If they win, they're not going to be champions for very long. And then Bayley and Lyra, there's a lot you can do there. Now, there's a lot you can do with the same teams they've been feuding up against. Will they go into every match as tag team underdogs, yet somehow finding a way to win? Will they get the crowd over that way? But there's plenty of people for Bayley and Lyra to go up against. I can also see Bayley and Lyra heading to NXT and having some TV time down there in NXT as well. That's something I can't really say for the Bella Twins. So I am going to go with the small favorites. I am going to go with Bayley and Lyra getting the victory here. Seth Rollins and Gunther, again, I'm surprised it's not on ESPN, but this is one of the main events of the night. Seth Rollins, it's his return match. Gunther, kind of stop-start, you know, a little bit over the last few months because he had the John Cena retirement, had the Goldberg retirement, had the AJ retirement. In theory, he was going into WrestleMania to do another retirement angle, possible with Rey Mysterio. There's some reports out there that Rey got injured and threw that off the wall. So, yeah, Gunther, his story hasn't really culminated with a WrestleMania match. This is totally off the wall. They had their segment on Raw. Like, why are you actually going? Why do you want to wrestle me? And he wants to prove that he's the best. He wants to prove that he's better than Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins coming back. Like, he's lost focus. He wants to prove that he's better. Because this is Seth Rollins' return match, though, like, it doesn't hurt the Gunther storyline to lose this match. Seth Rollins' return match, he's going to go up against Bron Breakker at some point, you got to think. Bron Breakker's going to come back. It's got to happen. Does Bron Breakker come back right now and play a part in Seth Rollins possibly losing to Gunther? Does Gunther win clean? Does Seth Rollins win clean? Is there some type of shenanigans either way? This is one of those matches where I do see it going over 20 minutes. I think this is the workhorse match of the night out of everybody. This is going to be the one that you say, okay, that was the best match of night one. And I'm going to go ahead and go with the big underdog in this one, actually. Seth Rollins is a plus 350 underdog to a minus 600 Gunther. And that just means Gunther is a big favorite to win this match. I'm going against that, and I'm thinking Seth Rollins takes this one, and I'm thinking it happens clean. Gunther has lost clean at WrestleMania before. He lost the Intercontinental Championship to Sami Zayn clean before. It can happen, and I think it's going to happen again this time. Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton is your main event. Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton is a match. I think it's the best match they could have done. It's the best match they could have done. Yes, it's a pivot from what Cody Rhodes was probably going to do. I'm glad it's not a four-way or a triple threat, and you're just shoving everyone in there because you can't make heads or tails of, you know, what should be the main event. The Pat McAfee twist over the last couple of weeks has been a little off. I'm not saying it's terrible like a lot of people are. I'm not saying it's great. It's just been a little off. Pat McAfee is a character. I mean, he's been a WWE guy. It's not like this some unknown person came in and took his place. Now, Jelly Roll, that's what Jelly Roll's kind of done. Coming here is, you know, I've had a match, sure. I show up on TV every once in a while. But Pat McAfee was a WWE regular for years. As an announcer, as a wrestler in NXT, he was a regular. So him coming back in didn't throw me off that much. But the TV's been a little weird. Pat McAfee has said that he will never show his face in WWE again if Randy Orton loses this match. Now, to me, that's not one of those things where it's like, okay, well, then it's obvious Randy Orton's winning. Pat McAfee's a busy guy. He's not going to come back as an announcer for WWE. He's not going to come back as an ambassador for WWE. He's got his own business. He's got his ESPN responsibilities. The football season's going to start in 5 months, and he's going to be 100% on football. And he can still play a part in WWE on his own show, on the ESPN properties. He doesn't have to show up to Raw and SmackDown. So I don't think that that's a signal that Randy Orton is winning like some people do. Now, right now, Randy Orton is a small favorite. Cody Rhodes, a small underdog. I do see a summer where Randy Orton is a heel champion going against opponents like a Jacob Fatu, maybe even showing up on Raw every once in a while, maybe even showing up against a Raw champion at some point, whether it was CM Punk or Roman Reigns. I think a summer of Randy Orton refreshes WWE a little bit. So I can see the reason to make him the champion. I think that could be a good reason to make him the champion. He's also been kind of good on TV. I mean, like, the Randy Orton character is back, and I do like TV better when Randy Orton is on the shows and doing Randy Orton heelish things. Now, Cody Rhodes, the other side of it is Cody Rhodes can slay the Randy Orton again. He already beat him in Saudi Arabia once for the King of the Ring. I believe it was King of the Ring. He already beat him once. That didn't have a whole lot of buildup. You didn't have the whole Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes story. Obviously, Randy Orton turning on Rhodes and being like, okay, this is it, buddy. I'm taking you down. I don't care if we were friends in the past. I'm taking you down. There's a lot of different reasons why I can go with either person on this. I think at the end of the day, I'm actually going to go ahead and say Roman Reigns and CM Punk is going to have more shenanigans. So maybe you don't do the shenanigans with Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes. But in history, and history being last year's WrestleMania, you had a ton of chaos. You had the Paul Heyman turn on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday, you do your main event. And of course, that main event was John Cena winning against Cody Rhodes. Does Cody Rhodes lose a consecutive WrestleMania going in as the champion and losing to a all-time legend heel? You know what? I don't think so. I think Pat McAfee's going to be gone. I think Randy Orton's going to lose, and I see Cody Rhodes winning this match. That's right, against all odds, against at least little odds, Cody Rhodes is going to walk out as the WWE champion. On night two, the first hour is going to be on proper ESPN. So you're going to have Obafemi and Brock Lesnar open up the ESPN WrestleMania era. You're going to have Obafemi and Brock, and if there was ever a time to squash Brock again, you know, since the Goldberg squash many years ago, I think right now, if this match went 5 minutes, I would be stunned. I think Brock Lesnar comes in. I think he's maybe shows a little bit of that scaredness that he's shown. He is a little afraid. But at the end of the day, he charges at Obafemi and he just gets stopped. And Obafemi is going to walk out having conquered the Brock Lesnar beast. And Obafemi goes on to his Summer of Terror on Raw, and Brock Lesnar is done for a little bit, possibly until SummerSlam in Minnesota. Seems like rumors are swirling that Brock Lesnar will have one or two more matches, and maybe it's just the one at some point in this summer, most likely at SummerSlam. Penta is defending the Intercontinental Championship, another match that kind of, you know, was changed based on everything going around because of the Rey Mysterio injury, because of the Gunther situation. So this is another match that's a little bit different. Effectively a Money in the Bank. And they found a way to get the Money in the Bank back here on WrestleMania, but it's for the Intercontinental Championship. Penta's going in against Javon Evans, Dragon Lee, JD McDonough, Rusev, and Rey Mysterio. I think the favorite in this one is Penta, but let me double check that. Right now, yes, Penta is the favorite, with Javon Evans being a close alternate favorite, if you will. I actually see this as one where it could be the shooting push for a Javon Evans. This really isn't a storyline match. Penta not winning a ladder match doesn't necessarily hurt him. Rey Mysterio can be going on a feud. This is night two after Gunther's already wrestled, so possibly you could see Gunther and Rey Mysterio here. So I am going to go ahead and go with Javon Evans walking out of this one as the surprise winner for the Intercontinental Championship. It would be fun, though, if JD McDonough won, and then you had the whole Finn Balor situation with Dominic. Like, does JD McDonough find his way out of WrestleMania as a champion while Finn and Dominic Mysterio battled it out, and now both of them are coming after JD, and you further have more turmoil in the Judgment Day. Speaking of Judgment Day, former leader of the Judgment Day, Rhea Ripley going up against Jade Cargill. This is the end of the line, I think, for Jade Cargill as the champion. I think Rhea Ripley is going to win this. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jade Cargill possibly a favorite here, but no, Rhea is the favorite at minus 300. For all intents and purposes, Jade Cargill probably should win. Set up yourself as this dominant, you know, the female side, like Brock Lesnar, where she's just this dominant, more athletic, taller, bigger than everybody superstar, and she just beats everyone down for a long period of time, kind of like Brock Lesnar does on the men's side. I see Jade Cargill walking out in that way because Rhea Ripley is certainly a tough woman to beat and someone that would jump you up to that kind of level. But I'm going to go ahead and go with Rhea Ripley. I think the Jade Cargill experiment as the champion might be over. And I think this is a way you can get Rhea Ripley on the SmackDown side permanently and not bouncing back and forth between Raw and SmackDown, effectively doing your WWE draft by changing championships on that side. Sami Zayn, Trick Williams, singles match for the U.S. Championship. Another match that is quite different from what everyone expected, with Carmelo Hayes not being in this, with Ilya not being in this. I would expect Carmelo and Ilya to be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Sami Zayn going in as a champion when all of late last year and early this year was Sami Zayn like, you know, I got to win the big one. I got to win the world title. I got to find my way onto WrestleMania. And he just fails. And then one week it's just like, okay, I'm going to be the U.S. champion. Why not? And here he is, the U.S. champion. This is one of those matches that could be the double turn. Now, Sami Zayn's kind of been heelish. Trick Williams is a new face. The WrestleMania crowd is going to be probably a little kind of like the Chicago WrestleMania I went to, where it's like bizarro world. I can see that with Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton. I'm seeing Randy Orton getting cheered a lot. I think the WrestleMania crowd, even if you get Randy Orton booed on the last couple of TVs leading up to WrestleMania, WrestleMania is different. And I see Randy Orton possibly getting cheered here like crazy. I also see Sami Zayn getting booed, and we can see a double turn. I say Trick Williams is going to win this one. The Demon Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio. It's going to be a good one. I got to think Dominic's probably the favorite, no? And now you're probably saying, no, you're crazy. Of course Finn's going to win. He's the Demon. Yeah, Finn could probably win. If Finn wins, if JD McDonough wins the Intercontinental Championship, I think that's a precursor and kind of a promo showing that, yeah, Finn Balor is going to win the match later on. So if JD wins the Intercontinental Championship, be ready. You're probably seeing Demon Finn. I think the entrance will be cool, especially if it happens later in the show when it's a little bit darker. I don't know if any of this show is going to be in the dark, but it is mostly indoors. So I'm sure that's going to be a cool entrance, a cool, cool setup for WrestleMania. And you're going to have a really cool entrance with the Demon Finn Balor. And your main event, CM Punk, Roman Reigns. I'm going to cut right to it. Your favorite in this match right now is, Where is this one? CM Punk is the underdog. Roman Reigns is the favorite. Could Roman Reigns be around for a little bit? I see him, you know, Backlash in Tampa really hasn't announced any superstars. So they're not giving anything away with Backlash as far as promotion, telling you who's going to win. In the ring, the crowd that night's going to want Roman Reigns to win. If CM Punk's taking time off, more information that tells you Roman Reigns is probably going to win. CM Punk probably should win. CM Punk should be the winner of this match. I mean, he's been the guy for the last year and a half on the Raw side. Ever since Netflix came into play, Roman Reigns goes away a lot. Like his last match was at the Royal Rumble. This is not a guy who's prime, fit, and ready. And the story's cool. Like CM Punk, yeah, you're old. But you know what? I'm not done yet. So this one's a toss-up for me. I think CM Punk should win. I think Roman Reigns probably will. So like any good sports radio personality, I'm going to say CM Punk's going to win, but Roman Reigns probably will. So that way, I'm right either way.
Hey, kids. Jeff Hawkins here. Shake them ropes. I'm either the second half of this show or I'm the first half. Yes, we are doing it that way. Rob had a commitment that came up today, and this was going to be our day to tape our big WrestleMania preview. Said, wife's got something at 5:30 and I got to go. And so, but I can record some audio before I leave. It's now almost six his time and I haven't gotten it. So I'm a little worried, but, I will be on one half of this show and I don't know which one it is. And, Rob will be on the other half. So if this is your intro, if this isn't, I'll just get to it. It is WrestleMania season. How do I know that? Because of the email I got yesterday that said, hey, check in early if you'd like. I went, oh, crap. Forgot to cancel that hotel reservation. There goes that deposit. But, I thought about driving up, but I can't. It's too much money, and I am knee-deep in my legal stuff right now, and it's not fun. I'm not having fun right now, except for doing podcasting, to be honest with you. Under the weather, I'm going to power through this. But I wanted to talk a little AEW first before I got to my part of the Mania preview. Dynasty happened last Sunday. I'm going to tell you guys something that might surprise you. It might have been my favorite AEW pay-per-view. And it's not because it was the best AEW pay-per-view. It's because, for me, it was an easy watch. And I don't know what they did. Maybe it was putting the Bucks on first. That could have been it. Or second. I forget what they were. But they came on early. And I think a lot of the AEW pay-per-views I hate are because those tag matches with the Bucks just seem to go on about 15 minutes too long. And then it drives everything else later. And we're getting into the midnight 1 a.m. Eastern time. And you're like, all right, guys, this has been a fun party. But y'all are staying a little too long. But I thought it was, it ended. And I went, all right, I enjoyed that. And I wasn't tired. I wasn't cranky. I wasn't thinking, oh, they shouldn't have had this match here. The buffer match, they always have a buffer match now. And this one, it was the trios tag. And you're like, well, that wasn't necessary. I could have cut that out. But I wasn't upset. I mean, it was a good pay-per-view. I really enjoyed it. I thought all the matches, there wasn't any match that insulted my intelligence, to be honest with you. And so we get to Wednesday. And Darby Allin is now your AEW World Champion. And I don't mind it. I really don't. It's, sometimes in wrestling, especially now, it's not my generation. It's not even two or three generations after that. You have to do something for fan service. And Darby was a pillar. And you need to do something to take care of your pillars. And this isn't a move to grow your business. Now, I've heard people arguing that thing. Well, how does he grow business? How does he do this? And I think you could if you wanted to. Because Darby's appeal should be in kids and youth. And it's a market that AEW almost purposefully doesn't go after. Because, oh, the WWE, they're the kiddie stuff or whatever. But you watch the connection between, like, when they do meet and greets. I was watching, an Instagram video of Chelsea Green with the little kids dressed as her. Man, that's fandom right there. And instead it's, you know, 20 and 30 something, too cool for school, but still dorks types who want to share their best 27 matches of the year stuff, which is fine. I love you guys, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, do you really want AEW to win this war? You say they do, or do you want to win it on your terms? Which I think is what they want. You know, it's like, this is the chance for Ring of Honor to finally be successful. No, it won't. I'm sorry. It just won't. And I think a lot of it is, I was at dinner with friends last night. I didn't even do my podcast because Paul had to go to WrestleMania. And I was getting mocked, as usual. It's like, Jeff had to do his wrestling podcast. It's like, man, I used to watch that. And, you know, it's the usual Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Randy Savage types. And the guy I was with looks at me and goes, yeah, I turned it on because the first question was, is it the wrestling kind of thing with Hulk Hogan or is it the kind in the cage? Because he was mixing up MMA and wrestling. So it's like, okay. So I told him it was the Hulk Hogan type. And he goes, yeah, I watched it a little while ago, and they're not as muscular, but what got me is everybody looks the same, and there's no real personality to any of the guys. I just sat there and went, yeah, because I was trying to get the personality, because I was trying to get through the conversation before we went any further, and look, that's preaching to the choir for me. I think this is a personality business. I don't think this is a work rate business. So we'll butt heads about that later, especially when we talk about Obafemi. But other things, like the only mistake I think in doing the Darby win this way is that there's a difference, and here's where I'm going to butt heads with the AEW, the stand-up for AEW types, let me put it that way. I'm not going to say apologist, because I think everybody kind of likes AEW for certain things. There's a difference between build and mentioning. And Darby really needed an investment in a build, where not just this crowd wanted to see this, but everybody was just dying for the moment where a pillar or Darby, based on his personality, got this title. And yeah, they did like little promos throughout the week, throughout the weeks leading up to Dynasty, where Darby, I want a challenge for the title. I want a challenge for the title. I want a challenge for the title. But that's not build. That's mentioning. Build is kind of what they did with Mankind, where, you know, the corporation is just abusing him week after 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 week. You know, I'm gonna overcome this. And then he finally does. And look, I hated that win because it did nothing for Foley other than give him the belt. I'm going to see where this goes. I mean, everybody's like, oh, good transitional champion. You can do this anytime. And I'm like, yeah. But why not see if there's something to Darby as your focal point, which is something we don't do in AEW, and it drives me nuts. Because if you notice, with the exception of Max, for the most part, not that I know him, MJF, the chase is everything in AEW. And once they get the belt, it doesn't change anybody's personality for the most part. It doesn't change the character. It doesn't change the trajectory. They just become, for example, Hangman Page, but with a title. And then you start wondering, well, what are we going to do with this? What's the story we're going to tell? And they don't tell a story. They just book matches and go, oh, they'll be very good matches. And Hangman Page and Kenny Omega fighting for the title will be fun. Hangman Page and Swerve will be fun. But it's like, all right, what does this title mean to Hangman Page? And how has it changed him in any ways? And his attitude towards wrestling? Like, even when the great Dusty Rhodes got the title, his demeanor and his promos changed somewhat. You know? His ego really started to come out when he had the world title for the short runs that he had him. And then he realized all his money was in the chase. But I think that's my problem. And I think really they need to make an effort. And again, this is a lazy company to me in many ways. And I say that lovingly. It's the C student who could be an A student if they just applied themselves. Do the work with Darby Allin. Send him on press junkets, like good ones. And we'll talk about this when I get to WrestleMania. But there are outlets that are fine-tuned for a guy like Darby Allin. And he doesn't have to play up being a wrestler. He can play up being Darby. And do it. Market to the kids. Market to the skateboarders. Market to the adrenaline junkies. Let's do this, man. And let's see what we have with the kid. As opposed to waiting 2 months for Will Ospreay just to take the title off of him. I do have fears that we're going back into this Andrade thing a little bit too soon. And I loved that match, but at the same time, you're like, all right, we've done the match. Why do we need to, you know, put him in a three-way with MJF or whatever? I'm hoping we're not doing a hot potato either, but we'll see. So now we get to what is the biggest week. Update, Rob still hasn't sent me the audio, and we could have actually done a show by now. I have hated everything about not the build, but the marketing this week. Get offline, guys. Everything revolving this WrestleMania push have been talent going to outlets and starting fights or saying snippy things to get the clicks. And it doesn't make wrestling look good to me. And going back to the Darby thing, I wish we would just, okay, talk to your wrestlers. What are your interests and what kind of podcast would you like to go on? We'll send you there so you can be interested and interesting and really make our company come off well. As opposed to, we're sending Jey Uso to start a fight here. We have Cody Rhodes trashing McAfee. We have McAfee trashing wrestling. We have ESPN people replying to McAfee trashing wrestling. It's ridiculous. It's bad. It's bad for business. We have CM Punk, you know. I don't want this part of the audience watching us because I have these politics and stuff. It's all right. Fine. It's just, this needs, everybody needs a PR class, as my friend Classic Catch, the very lovely and sweet Classic Catch is like, can anybody take a media literacy course, please? Follow her. She has numbers after Classic Catch, I believe, but she's a fun follow on Twitter, and she is a hell of a person. And has done a lot of nice things for me during this legal process, asking people for favors and stuff. So shout out to her if she's listening. But yes, two nights of wrestling. It's weird because people are asking me, is this one of the worst WrestleManias ever? And I'm like, WrestleMania 9 still that granddaddy, man. You ain't getting past that. There have been some clunkers in there. WrestleMania 2000, I don't think was very good, if I remember. WrestleMania 4, even though it's still one of my favorite ones and one I looked forward to and then turned out to be a dud. anything with an angle at the end is kind of a dud for WrestleManias. And I think we may go that way. I saw something and I've now changed my mind on the main event on Saturday, actually. So let's get to it, shall we? In your pre-show on ESPN DOS, which is actually a pretty good crossover, although Sundays is just god tier, so. The vision of Logan Paul and Austin Theory along with iShow Speed. It says here with Paul Heyman, he ain't coming down, man. Versus the Usos and LA Knight. iShow Speed gonna die. Let's put it that way. Everybody's gonna be asked to carry this. iShow Speed will get a few licks in, get confident, and eventually get taken down. I also expect the Usos to turn on LA Knight after the match. I do. I think LA Knight beats iShow Speed. Maybe he steals a pin by accident. The Usos get mad, or at least Jay does, and he attacks him. Maybe it's Jay's hurt LA Knight and Jimmy's conflicted for the 8 millionth time. But it feels like that. But I have the Usos and LA Knight winning this, and then something happening because of how it ended. Jacob Fatu versus Drew McIntyre in an unsanctioned match. Hose me. I'm here for this. Might be my favorite match all of both nights. I think Jacob Fatu has to win this. Drew McIntyre doesn't need the win. Drew McIntyre will always have his I am righteously indignant, but I'm still the bad guy character, and it will work for anything. Jacob Fatu, new star on the come, give it to him. Hopefully you can open. Okay, he gave it to me in a format that I can't open. Okay, cool. Anyways, Stephanie Fakir versus Liv Morgan for the Women's World title. And this is one that perplexes me, because I think Stephanie Fakir is a star. And she's been the one getting beat down this whole time. But I could see them giving the belt back to Liv here. I'm not going to say they go there. I'm going to tentatively say Stephanie Vaquer wins this match and retains. And possibly with the help of Roxanne? Possibly? Don't know. I think that would be bad. I think Stephanie should overcome everybody. But I think it just depends how much of a rocket we went on Stephanie from this company. Because this definitely, like, the media has definitely revolved around Liv. So it feels like Liv gets a run here at Mania and gets the quote-unquote moment. I think she's had it before here. I don't know. If she hasn't, then you'd have to go with Liv. So now I'm second-guessing myself. Who cares? One of them's going to win, I think. How about that? I'll be non-committal on Stephanie and Liv because I don't know. AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch singles match for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. It's a good question, right? Becky is still a force of nature when it comes to push and when she's the champ and even when she's annoying me with the man gimmick, which I find a little bit overbearing at times. I don't think AJ Lee wants to last that long in this company. But I could see her one last WrestleMania win. But I think I'm going to go with Becky Lynch here. I do. I think AJ doesn't mind leaving at this point, and I think this might be goodbye for her. And she'll be fine with that. Maybe not overstay her welcome. Although if she stays, I could see like the double turn scenario. God, I'm second guessing myself here again, aren't I? Screw it. I'll go with the AJ retaining. Fatal 4-way tag match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. The Irresistible Forces, Nia Jax and Lash Legend versus Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss versus Bayley and Lyra versus the Bella Twins. If Nikki Bella is cleared, I believe she's injured. The Bella Twins are winning this so that they can say they held all the belts. Period. End of story. They may lose a Monday night to Charlotte and Alexa, but or Bird Girl and Bailey. But if the Bellas are in this match, the Bellas are winning this match. Period. End of story. Seth Rollins versus Gunther. Hose me. I'm up this match too. I'm here for this. The favor that Gunther has asked of Paul Heyman is wrestling Brock, I think. To retire, quote-unquote, retire Brock for as long as Brock wants to stay retired. Because Brock's going to have that plane running for that opening match. He's not going to give a crap about people saying goodbye. He's going to be out of there. Gunther's going to win this. It's going to be because Seth has been out for so long. I'm fine with it. And then Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton with Pat McAfee. And I saw something that fits. And I hate it, but it sounds like it's a plan. And I also don't hate it, but I hate it. Randy Orton is apparently, quote unquote, hurting right now. Pat McAfee has been carrying the belt everywhere he goes. Oh, wait for it, kids. Yes, it's corporate synergy time. If Orton loses, McAfee will leave the professional wrestling industry permanently. But what happens if we find a way to make Pat McAfee the champion here? I know. You purists are puking right now. This is the entertainment business. Yes, I am calling that shot. Pat McAfee is the champion at the end of the night. And eventually Randy probably takes it from him. But Randy gets damaged. Pat asks to go into the match for him. Cody agrees. Randy's not as hurt as he thought. McAfee wins. How about that? How about that? So you end night one with everybody grumbling and groaning that Pat McAfee is your undisputed WWE champion. Then we get to night two, which is by far your wrestling fan night. I am terrible. If on SmackDown, if they add a match with Asuka and Io, I'll be very happy because I'm very upset that this match isn't on here. Because your boy needs his Asuka. Your boy needs his Asuka on his WrestleMania. I'm sorry. But starting on the ESPN pre-show, Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. Are you kidding me? Yes. All the hoses on me. Obafemi is more over, and I'm going to say this and you're going to get mad, than anybody in AEW right now. Just by doing that dumb dance. I mean, it's not a dumb dance. It's a dance. And kids love it, and people love it, and they do it. And by destroying the hell out of Brock Lesnar and not showing any ass. Instant champion. I forgot this part in the AEW. Because, again, personality goes a long way. Wardlow would be a good champion. And he looks the part. Sorry. Nobody ever says that about AEW because AEW looks at Wardlow and goes, he can only do a 3.5-star match. Oh, well, he can't be champion. But Obafemi is going to beat Brock Lesnar. And hopefully it won't take long and Brock doesn't turn a certain shade of purple. But he's going to win. I hope it's murder death. I hope if he no-sold an F5, I might be fine with it, but I wouldn't do it. But it should be much like all of these other things. Come in, wreck stuff, leave. Brock gets on his plane and goes back to Saskatchewan. Penta versus Javon Evans versus Dragon Lee versus JD McDonagh versus Rusev versus Rey Mysterio. One of these things is not like the other. Give me Rusev coming off that ladder, baby. Give it to me. it's a ladder match for WWE Intercontinental Championship. One of these guys is going to be out for a long time after the match. This is how WrestleMania goes. They tell you, hey, this is your chance to make something of yourself. So everybody goes way too over the top. Fully expect Javon Evans to get this WWE Intercontinental title. This is his coming at. This is his I'm no longer the future, I'm the now. This is to sate Brian Alvarez, all those things. Javon Evans is winning the WWE Intercontinental Championship if he remains unharmed from landing on ladders. That's the X factor. If he gets hurt in the course of this match, we'll see. Jade Cargill versus Rhea Ripley. Singles match, WWE Women's Championship. What can you say about Jade Cargill here? Are they going to do a match with her? Yes. Does Rhea have it in her to bring Jade Cargill up to the levels of Rhea Ripley in these matches? I don't know. Should Rhea Ripley win this match? I don't know that either. Everything tells you she's going to. Jade Cargill should probably win this and then lose to Io. That's my thinking. And that's how we get to Io Rhea. We get to Rhea as champion and Io challenging. It's not as satisfying when Rhea gets the first win. Although that may be, you know what that is? That's Io wins Money in the Bank, cashes in on Jade. Rhea challenges. I'd be fine with that too. But I think you need Jade Cargill to win this. She won at WrestleMania in squashes and stuff. She needs to win a real match to become a real star in WWE. Simple as that. In the most baffling casting match, Sami Zayn versus Trick Williams for the WWE United States Championship. Trick's winning this match. Question is, do we somehow make Trick Williams a babyface and Sami Zayn a heel throughout the night? Given what happens with the Usos on night one, I could see us having a bit of a family reunion of the Bloodline with Sami Zayn in tow, also as a heel. So, we'll see. Trick is winning. Lemon pepper steppers for everyone. I hope Little Yachty does not get involved. You're going to have to hear Michael Cole talk about his boy Little Yachty ad nauseum, even though he probably has never heard a Little Yachty song. I have never heard a Little Yachty song, I don't think, or it was against my will. The Demon Finn Balor versus Dominic Mysterio. I'm here for this. This is going to be fun. I hope Dominic Mysterio does something fun for his entrance. I've loved his entrances every year. I think the match will be even better than people think it'll be. And I have the Demon winning. There's no title. Doesn't matter. He can go down to AAA and lose to Dominic, and it'll be fine. Do we get Mr. Iguana? Maybe. With his puppet and the Demon puppet, and they become a team too? Oh, it's a love story. It's been made. And finally, CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. Loved what they did on Raw. I liked the video Roman Reigns did. I liked the promo between Punk and Roman here. But I fear the Bloodline's coming back. And I fear Roman Reigns needs the title to be in the Bloodline. I have Roman Reigns winning this match. I do. And it's going to be a cast of thousands, because you're also going to get the YFTs, I think they are, old Solo's gang in. It's going to be a night of 1,000 Samoans and Sami Zayn. And then Punk can go and fight Sami Zayn for a while, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how the draft upcoming will go. I assume there's one after Mania. There usually is. Call-ups are going to be interesting. I think you should call up Fatal Influence. Hopefully on Monday. Hopefully as a group. Hopefully with a big deal type thing. Who are the big deals you can call up? Blake Monroe, always a possibility. In terms of men, Ethan Page, to me, belongs on this main roster, but he's so valuable down there. I don't think Tony D's going anywhere, even though he should be, but you got nothing for him. Ricky Saints? Meh. don't think so. I'm probably missing somebody very obvious and I can't remember, so I'll try not. Joe Hendry. People have seen the act. You know, SmackDown Hour 2 guy, just to do it. Where does Danhausen show up? Probably the iShow Speed match, I would think. I think maybe even the Hall of Fame ceremony to interrupt. I think Stone Cold is probably something to do with this. I think The Miz is somewhere in there too. At least on night two. But yeah, that's WrestleMania 42. Roman Reigns, champion night two to end the whole thing. Pat McAfee night one to end the whole thing. Those are my predictions. If you don't like them, wait 5 minutes. I'll change my mind and talk myself into something else. Rob got my audio in, so I'm playing him second. Here's Rob with his stuff.
Wrestling Omakase brings you a full course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.